This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Right or wrong, Peters is gone. Can we now focus on hockey and hockey only? Well, the worst month in Flames history is done. And damn it, I couldn't wait to turn my calendar over today. It's episode 19, Flames Unfiltered. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. Thank you for joining me, Flames fans. It is December 1st, and I flipped my calendar today, and I couldn't be more happy. Honestly, worst month in Flames history. All the struggles on the ice, Gaudreau trade talk, TJ Brody scare, and now the Peters incident. Holy cow. It's not going good. It's not going good at all. Flames are home now, 4 days off, complete reset. And I don't want to talk after today's show about anything off ice the rest of the season. I want to talk hockey. I want to talk Flames winning hockey. This Flames isn't, they're in the playoff hunt still. They're tied for a wild card spot. I don't know how that can be possible. I have no idea, but they are. December starts off. It's the first as I record this. It gets released tomorrow morning on the Hockey Podcast Network. Also check it out on flamesunfiltered.com. We got 4 days off in a row. No hockey. The Flames next take the ice on the 5th, which is Thursday evening against Buffalo. Got Friday off, and then they're home again for the LA Kings Hockey Night in Canada, the late game on Saturday night. We got Sunday off, and then next week, let's take a little bit of a jaunt into the second week of December and take a look. We got a road trip, a short one, out to Colorado on Monday. Back-to-back with Arizona on Tuesday. Wednesday off, home to Toronto on Thursday. Friday off and home to Carolina on an afternoon game on the 14th. And honestly, that's all I want to talk about is hockey. I want to talk about those games. I want to talk about how the Flames are doing on the ice and on the ice only.
Every team, everywhere. The Hockey Podcast Network.
Hey, the Hockey Podcast Network. I am so happy to be part of that group. Flames Unfiltered is loving every minute of it. The Hockey Podcast Network is moving in a big way. Hockey podcasts from all 31 NHL teams. There's no other network. Twice a week, every single team. And they also have another very, very exciting podcast called Tales with TR, a hockey podcast. It features Terry Ryan, a former National Hockey League player. He is one of the funniest guys you will ever hear. You've heard him on Spit and Chicklets. He's got his own show on the Hockey Podcast Network. It comes out every other week. Episode 1 has dropped. Please check that out. Only one game to recap, and we're going to talk quite a bit about it since it's the only game. Give you a little rundown, and then we're going to move into an interview with Shane Ryan from the Frozen Biscuit, another great show on the Hockey Podcast Network. He covers the Ottawa Senators for the network, and he's going to join the show later on to give his thoughts on the Senators as a whole and how they looked Saturday night in Calgary in their 3-1 loss. Let's talk a little bit about that game Saturday night. I don't know. I think this is a feeling that every Flames fan has right now. I don't think it's just me. But I just feel a little blah about games right now. Ever since this garbage that we went through with our coach, Bill Peters. Everything's just been kind of blah. This wasn't a exciting barn burner game on Saturday night, but you know what? It was another win, is another 2 points, and the Flames are quietly gathering points, which is something they hadn't been doing as of late. Dylan Dubé gets on the scoreboard with a backhander late in the first period, his second of the year, on a good play. I think Dylan Dubé has been really good lately, and he looks like he's here to stay now. And you know what? We talked about it a lot during the season, that, or in the preseason, that he was going to get sent down, come back up, and probably not leave us. And he's proven that thus far. I've been really impressed with his play. Second period, no goals. One side note to the second period, though. I think TJ Brody looks really good. And some people probably still disagree with me because he's still a whipping boy. But since his medical scare, in which he told us that it changed his perspective a little bit, he comes to the rink now to play hockey for fun. You know what? I think we need more guys on our team to come and play for fun. Because TJ Brody's been really good since he came back. And that's really helped this Flames team. It really has. Third period, Pajot scores. Ties the game with a top-shelf wrist shot where Riddick looked like he cheated and put himself out of position. It just looked weird. It looked really, really weird. In a game I thought Riddick played really well, this was one that I think he'd want back, as he looked like he was leaning and open and gave that short side, and Pajot found it. Scores his 14th, I believe, on the year. At the 4:10 mark, Elias Lindholm continues to be the best Flames offensive player. Beats his D-man wide and shelves it top shelf to go ahead again. 2-1. That was another nice goal by Lindholm. He has taken charge of this team this week and put a couple in that have really, really helped this team and propelled them to wins. He's quiet out there, but boy, is he effective. He adds his 14th of the year with an empty netter on a nice pass from Johnny Gaudreau on a 2-on-1 with no goalie. That seals the deal with a 3-1 win. Riddick with the one goal allowed, 25 saves in the win. And you know what? I was just telling another guy today, if there's been one bright spot in Calgary this year, yep, it's been him. He has been really, really good. And you know what, Flames fans? He has solidified himself as the number one goalie for the Calgary Flames.
Inside Edge Hockey News, bringing you inside the game.
Joining Flames Unfiltered is Shane Ryan from the Frozen Biscuit, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Shane, thanks for joining me on the show today.
Hey, it's been a pleasure to join you.
Third matchup last night of the Tkachuk brothers, and Calgary steals, I don't know, kind of a low-key game, 3-1. I don't know what you thought, but I didn't think it was the most entertaining hockey game we watched this year, but I guess they're not always going to be super entertaining, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely a lot left to be desired. I definitely thought there would be a little bit more action. Hogberg kept us in the game for the most part, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting, the goalie situation, and we'll touch on that later on here in the interview. And both teams struggling to score this year. Ottawa sits 28th in goals per game with 2.56, and Calgary has had a hard time finding the back of the net. Again, only one goal last night for Ottawa, and the troubles continue to find the back of the net. What are your big reasons that you think that Ottawa's had troubles finding the back of the net this year?
I mean, outside of injuries, because like Namestnikov was doing pretty well, and then he got hurt. And the same thing with Anisimov. He did decently, scored against the Kings, and then missed a couple of games. So I think it's just very little finishing talent on this roster. They've generated a lot of chances. I mean, again, in the Calgary game, Tkachuk missed a wide open net. It rolled up on his stick and went high. And that just seems to be Ottawa's luck this year. They're just not getting those kind of bounces that other teams may get.
I can definitely relate. Calgary has not gotten a lot of bounces this year either, but sometimes I think you make your bounces, and Calgary definitely has not done that this year. Pajot has been a bright spot on your offense. He's got 20 points, 14 goals. How important has he been and his production been for the success that Ottawa has had this year?
this is going to piss off a lot of Ottawa fans, but I don't think very important. Yeah. Obviously, 14 goals, nothing to shake your head at, but six assists, like, he 11 of those goals happened in November. It's not like he was on an even pace in October. He just tore it up in November. So I think it's a little bit too early to definitely really say. He helped a lot in November, but it's so early that I don't know if he'll be able to keep it up. So we need to find scoring from other places, and we need to call people up from Belleville who have scored regularly over the last month as well.
Yeah, your team sits dead last on the power play at 9.3. Is that just a product of lack of talent on the team right now?
Yes, I think, again, it's a lack of finishing,
and I'm not trying to rip on Ottawa, but I mean,
it's the facts. It's true.
There's not a lot of star power, and there's not a lot of, you know, I mean, you guys are, it's no secret that you're in a rebuild, and that's fine. Every team has to go through them. And I actually think that Ottawa has some pretty darn good young talent coming up, and we'll talk about it later, but tons of draft picks too. So, I mean, I don't mean to sound, you know, terrible by saying that. I think, like you said, it is the facts. And I mean, when you don't have that star power, it's hard to put together a power play that's going to produce at a higher rate. I guess I'm sure you as an Ottawa guy would really like to see it higher than 9.3%.
Obviously. And I think a lot of people have made the argument that, oh, if we had a middle of the pack power play, they may be able to compete in how crappy the Atlantic has been this year. But outside of Tkachuk, Logan Brown and Duclair, you know, I like Connor Brown, I like Nemestikov, but we don't have that finishing talent to generate much of a chance. And we don't really load up one of the power plays, and that's the problem, is that if you follow myself on Twitter, I've been talking about just loading up the power play and letting them play the full 2 minutes. I don't care. Like, put on Brown, Tkachuk, Duclair, Chabon and Branstrom, and just let them have it. But I don't know. I think they've impressed and they've had chances. And I think that's the problem, is that they've definitely had opportunities to score, and they just can't capitalize, which has shot us in the foot more than once this season.
You know, Anthony Duclair, you've mentioned him a couple times, and he is one bright spot for your team this year. I shouldn't use the word controversial, but he's had a lot of stops so far in a young career, and has showed flashes of greatness. And thus far in Ottawa, I think he's looked pretty good. What are your thoughts on Duclair?
Honestly, I love Duclair. I loved him as a junior player. I loved watching him in juniors, kind of bouncing around the NHL. He's one of those guys. I've had a pleasure to talk to him a little bit. He's a super nice guy, but he was so fast as a junior player. And they've talked about this in game, and it kind of put things into perspective, is that he was able to use his speed so much for so long that he didn't have to work on his handling or his hockey sense. So when he got to the NHL level, you can't just win nowadays in speed. You need everything else. So he's taken a little bit longer to kind of bring that, hit those kind of skills up to his speed. And we're starting to see kind of everything mesh together super well. So, you know, yeah, he's 24. He's on his fifth team, but he's finally giving a chance to just go out there and play his game. And, you know, everything is going well for him so far this year. And even when he came over last year, things were going well. So I think he's someone that's going to be a big part of this rebuild. I'm excited for it.
It's fun when you kind of find that diamond of the rough type player like he is. And I think everybody's always thought he has a potential. It's just that he seems to find, like, he'll get hot spurts and cold spurts, and teams don't usually wait out his cold spurts for some reason. One defensive superstar young guy that you guys have that I've always been really impressed with is Thomas Chabot. What are your thoughts on him and his 16 points this year?
You know, it's such a misleading stat. Like, it's points are everything in today's NHL, but it's so misleading. There are games where he just looks completely lost, and there's games where he looks like a total game changer. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, I think he's like, what, 22 now?
He's young, yeah.
Yeah, he's 22. He's his third pro season. Not much talent around him. So a lot of teams are just picking on him. But he's had some costly turnovers in his own zone. But overall, he's a guy that's going to get better every year. And he's finally starting to get comfortable with DJ Smith's system. You know, he plays well with DeMelo. He's played well with Hainsey. As well as Zaitsev, I mean, I know their Corsi isn't necessarily where it should be or where, you know, people want it to be. But I like him. I think he's going to turn out to be a Norris Trophy finalist for almost every year throughout that 8-year deal.
You know, when you're rebuilding a team, boy, having a guy like him and a guy strong on the back end is so important to speeding up that rebuilding process. And you mentioned about defensive turnovers and things like that. And that's one thing I'm pretty critical of the Calgary defenseman is, yes, I want you to produce offensively, but first and foremost, I want you to produce defensively. Because I think oftentimes we judge defensemen just a little bit too much on offensive output and not as much as how they're taking care of their own zone, which is actually their job.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
The goaltending situation in Ottawa is far from clear, and now Anderson is hurt. What are your thoughts on the current situation? Where are the future plans for goaltending in Ottawa?
Well, I think, honestly, that obviously from the outside, because maybe you don't get enough, you guys don't see it a lot of times, but at least for Ottawa, like Ottawa fans in Ottawa, the goalie direction is simple. Anderson and Nielsen are this year's netminders. Next year, it's going to be Nielsen and Hogberg, because Hogberg and Nielsen are both on NHL level contracts next season. But I think the organization has put Sogard into that, you know, future starter bubble, and he's the guy that should most likely take the reins within the next 5 years of a true number one starter.
You know, it's goaltending's a tough one because it's so hard. You get all these young talents coming up, and it's just, it seems like it's a harder position for players to stick that are expected to stick. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I know Calgary has definitely rolled through their goaltenders since Mika Kiprusoff left town, and it's a constant battle every year to find that. And it sounds like, looking at Ottawa's system, that there is a lot of young, talented goaltenders in the pipes, and that's a good sign for a rebuild.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who grew up watching Kiprusoff, one of my favorite goalies ever. I think he was one of the more underrated goalies of his generation.
He was, yes.
You know, having solid goalie depth is probably the most important thing to, no matter if it's a rebuild or a Stanley Cup contender. I mean, you're seeing it with, you know, Tampa, where they went out and got McElhinney during the offseason to kind of solidify that backup role. Kincaid going to Montreal, you know, Toronto not really having much of a backup. It's kind of affecting how they're playing along with, you know, and then you look at Pittsburgh, who, you know, untimely for Fleury with the whole Matt Murray situation, but they have DeSmith Christian Jarry. So they have three NHL caliber goalies right there. So I don't know. I think Calgary definitely needs to just kind of refocus on that. I wasn't a huge fan of the Talbot signing the Talbot signing. Honestly, I think Giles should have been given the shot. But,
you know, I went back and forth on that, and I've kind of come to the conclusion that I think it was a calculated risk at very low dollar value to pay Talbot. Talbot has had success in the league. I think they were looking for that security. At a low price tag for 1 year, I didn't have a problem with bringing in Talbot. John Gillies has showed his spurts of greatness and has showed more spurts of horribleness in my mind. And I think you needed Talbot just to secure things. I'm very happy with the way Riddick has played this year. He's done exactly what – it's the only – honestly, the only thing in Calgary this year the only, on ice, off ice, everything. The only thing that's been good is that David Riddick has stepped up and been a true number one this year. It's really honestly been our only bright spot. As far as Talbot goes, it's really yet to be determined. He has hardly got any playing time. He hasn't been great. He hasn't been horrible. It's just backups goalies is going to be an interesting thing. And I see backups morphing into more 1A, 1Bs. How do you see goaltending in the future in the National Hockey League?
Oh, it's definitely going to that whole 1A, 1B situation. You're not – the days of goalies playing 50 to 60 games a season is out the door. Obviously, there's goalies like Fleury and Price that are going to push that. Holtby is another one. But overall, the days of, you know, Berger and Hasek and Waugh, Kiprusoft playing those like 55 to 65 games a season – those are long gone. You're definitely going to see more of like a, maybe a max 50 games for a goalie nowadays. It's going to be like a 50-32 split, basically, max. And that's if there's injuries.
And you're on the same page as me. I think that the today's day and age, the teams that win and are going to win on a consistent basis are going to have two guys that they can throw in that they can feel comfortable with. And I don't know. I think that's just the way things are going. And I completely agree with you on that one, Shane.
It's why it makes Boston such a dangerous team. Cause they can, like, they play the same way in front of Halak than they do with Rask.
Yeah.
And you know, if Rask were to get hurt, they're not hurting. Like Halak's proven to be an NHL starter.
They're not even they don't even in Boston. And I know the team is so good, but they don't care who they have in that because they're both good. Really. They could care less. It's like, oh, Halak's getting the go tonight. Big deal. Let's go. Let's go win. It's that team is scary.
Yeah. And like the fact that they were able to win and produce without Bergeron. And like this was a team that was looked at as like a one line. If you shut down that one line, you're good for the game. For Bergeron to miss an extended period of time and for them to continue winning,
yeah, they didn't even skip a beat even.
Not at all. No. Like,
let's refocus a little bit back on Saturday night's game. And what were your thoughts as a Sens guy? And how did you feel about the 3-1 loss to Calgary?
Oh, it was. You know, I'd much rather lose 7-2 to Minnesota than 3-1 to Calgary. And it's not even the teams. It's just when you lose 7-2, you know you never really had a chance. And realistically, yep, there were some goals in that game where you're just like, huh. Like, those are just like the third goal for Minnesota bouncing off Borowicki and in. Like, those are things that you can't really control. Hainsey getting beat by Lindholm right after Pageau tied it, you're just like, oh, my God. Like, as a Sens fan, I was just like, of course this happens. Like, just our luck. We're just in that kind of funk where nothing seems to be going right for us. And it's frustrating because our AHL team is doing super well. And there's guys like, we have the leading point getter in the AHL right now in Batherson. And we're just like, we need scoring. Let's trade someone like Ennis for a 6th-round pick. And let's call this guy up. Like, yeah.
I know you want to get those young talent up, but I don't know. If you're Ottawa, is it maybe better to have him playing in the American Hockey League, gaining confidence and learning the pro game? And because, I mean, quite honestly, the odds of making the playoffs this year aren't really great in Ottawa. And I don't even know if many Ottawa people want to make the playoffs. When you're trying to gather, you know, high draft picks and spark this rebuild in a quicker, more efficient direction. I don't think teams tank or anything like that, but like, are you completely heartbroken when your team loses though?
I think it depends on how they lose.
Yeah. If they lose without emotion, that would piss me off because I've seen enough of that in Calgary this year. But I guess if your team goes out and are given 100% effort and you guys lose, I guess there is some hope that, hey, we're going to get a really high pick this year. We have 11 picks in this year's draft.
It's crazy.
This team really, I, you know, and I've talked to a lot of other people about this, and I, you know, you see teams Ottawa just a couple years ago was a very good hockey team. And now you see them struggling, but I don't think this rebuild is going to take that long. I really don't.
No. And to answer your first question, there's a lot of people. I think there's more people that are on team. Let's just play and play exciting hockey and whatever happens, happens, more than team fight for a wild card or team tank. It's definitely more like exciting hockey. Don't matter what the score is, win or loss. Just as long as it's exciting to watch, people don't care.
Sure.
At least that's where I'm at. And I've seen a lot of, like, I think a lot of people will agree on me on that. As long as it's fun, they don't want to be losing, you know, games with no emotion. And like, it's just a lot of like, oh my God, this game's dragging on.
Yeah.
Like, and if they win a game, whoop-de-doo. Like, they win a game, that's fun, that's exciting. But if they're at least playing hard and, like, they're forcing the opponent to those 2 points, I don't think anyone's going to complain. But for the second point with the whole, like, the picks and, you know, the rebuild, one thing that Ottawa has over a team like Detroit or L.A., who were – that's really who we're fighting for that last – like, that last – overall spot,
yep,
is we already had prospects in our system before we decided to do this rebuild. Like,
yes,
we had Shabbat, we had White, we had Batherson and Fomentin, Willannon. Like, we had these guys in our system already. So trading a guy like Carlson for Balsers and Norris, that just increased our roster pool. And then Abramoff and Davidson and Branstrom, all of the, and all these picks, it's just adding into an already respectable pool. Mm-hmm. So and with how bad the East is or how inconsistent the East is, I wouldn't be surprised if it's 2 years before Ottawa's fighting for a playoff spot.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I really wouldn't. I like your guys' young talent. And it seems like this league is so good with – I mean, it just cycles through on a yearly basis. It's fun. I mean, there's really no market that should be down in the dumps too bad because things cycle back. I mean, unless you're in Edmonton or something like that. I mean, we'll pick on Edmonton. That's what we do. But usually things cycle back pretty quickly. And I think there's a good future ahead in Ottawa. And, you know, you sit and look, you got 11 picks this year, 2 first-rounders. I know one of them's based on San Jose's success. And as of lately, they're, you know, they're tearing it up. So that pick's getting a little further away for you. But still, 2 first-rounders and 3 second-rounders in this draft in a class that's touted to be a pretty strong class. That's something that Ottawa fans have to be pretty happy about.
Yeah. And I mean, the whole, you know, Pageau playing above his abilities thing, that should or could like bring in an extra first-round pick this year. Obviously, it'd probably be, you know, for 16 through 31.
Yeah.
17 through 31, but still pretty decent pick.
The cupboards are going to be stocked up, and that's good.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Adding Thompson and Pinto, and we have Bernard, like, Ottawa fans have no reason to be upset.
No.
Like, we are in such a good position to succeed that it doesn't matter what happens this year. Next year, we're going to be a lot more competitive than we were this year.
I was fun to watch the Tkachuk brothers battle. How important is Brady Tkachuk in the future of the Sens?
See, I have the same, like, this is the same thought process I have or I've had for Matthew in Calgary, is that they're the heart and soul guys of the team. They'll put the team on the back and, you know, they play differently when those two guys, like, both teams play differently when Matthew and Brady are at their best, are playing their kind of hockey. So I think you have no choice but to give Brady a long-term deal because he's going to be the face of the franchise, plus he'll be what Alfredson was or Phillips was or Neil was. He's going to be that cornerstone, like, people can get behind this kind of guy. And I wouldn't be surprised that in the next 2 to 3 years, he has the C on his chest.
No, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either. I'm obviously a big Calgary guy and I love Matthew Tkachuk, but I think you guys might have the better of the two Tkachuks. I really like what I've seen early on in his career, and Brady's just,
He's going to be a big giant force out there. He reminds me a little bit more of his dad and his dad's style. And I think that's going to pay huge dividends for Ottawa in the future.
Personally, I think he made a little bit of a mistake going to college. I definitely like, it's not to knock the, not to knock the NCAA, but when you're a freshman, you're not given those big time roles. You're playing against guys usually a lot older than you. Unlike if he went through the junior level, he would be playing a guys around his age. So, you know, watching him at the World Juniors during his draft year, you knew he was going to be something special. So I think that's like my issue with a lot of these guys who are only one and dones in college is that the NCAA game is so much different than the NHL game that there's such an adjustment period. The games played is a lot lower. The travel and whatnot is so much different that if you feel like if you know you're going to be a top 10 pick, you know, maybe college isn't the best route. But again, it's not to knock the college game because obviously, you know, Goudreau went through it. Makar's gone through it. But if you feel like you're going to be one and done, is it really worth going?
I think there's two different looks on that. I think if you're a top 10 pick in the National Hockey League, playing a couple years of juniors is probably the best route. I think if you're a third to seventh rounder, I think the NCAA is a better way to go simply because it develops you mature-wise and is a little bit different style of game. I think it allows you time to grow. And I think if you're a third or seventh round, you have that time and you're going to need that time to grow anyways. Otherwise, you'd have been picked in the first round. So I kind of look at it as, you know, kind of like two different avenues. I think if you're an elite prospect, I would go play a couple years of juniors and then head up to the National Hockey League. But I think if I was a mid to later round, I definitely would probably go the NCAA route and see if I can't take a little bit more time to get noticed going that route. I don't know. And I suppose people could argue that both ways.
I mean, we have three players that are at North Dakota, and they've been, at least one of them has been in and out of the lineup, but two of them have just been lighting it up in Pinto and Bernard Docker. So
both,
obviously,
those guys are going to be great guys for you.
Oh,
both of them are going to be great, and they're not going to get any better. I can vouch for this. They're not going to get any better training anywhere else other than North Dakota. That place is they breed professional hockey players.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Those guys are going to be good. I watched them this weekend play against Minnesota, and those two players like stood out. That Bernard Docker is off the charts good.
I think they like those two guys will make the world junior teams. They should.
I think they will too. Yep.
But that's the thing is that I think at least, you know, being up in Canada, you know, university hockey is generally, you know, you do that after you go to the juniors.
Yep. Just a different mindset. Yep.
So having a guy who, you know, is a one and done prospect.
I see those guys at North Dakota again next year, though. I do.
And oh, then, 100%.
And then
Bernard Docker is the only one where I'm kind of like Pinto, obviously, because like, I don't really see him being able to benefit from playing in Belleville because he won't be called up.
Yeah.
But I think Bernard Docker, because we have such a hole on our right side, he might decide to go pro.
And if he did, I think he'd be on the Ottawa Senators, not Belleville, probably.
Oh no, 100%. Like
I think he would.
I think he'll be playing beside Chabot next season.
That very well could be.
I'm not trying to knock the NCAA game.
No, I understand exactly what you're saying.
For anyone listening, I'm not trying to knock it. I understand that different players learn from different areas and the CHL isn't for everybody.
Yes.
So, but in my opinion, if you're a top 10 prospect or top 10 potential, I would think that CHL would be a better benefit than if you were a second or a third through seven round pick.
I completely agree. I think it's going to train you for the National Hockey League quicker.
Yeah. But I mean, again, you know, Makar went NCAA and he's been turning out great for Colorado. Goudreau with Calgary. Ottawa hasn't really been so lucky with NCAA players.
You guys draft a lot of NCAA players, so.
Yeah.
You guys do.
Hopefully DeCord could turn into something too. I like his game. He won his first AHL career start, so I'm not upset.
It was highly publicized that unhappiness of the Ottawa Senators fan base with owner Eugene Melnyk, and he's kind of went off the radar a little bit, which is probably a great thing. Has that hate calmed down a bit in Ottawa?
I don't necessarily. It's really calmed down. I don't think it will ever calm down. I just think people have relaxed and it's like, you know what? He's not talking. He's out of the picture. Shabbat signed to an 8-year deal. Colin White signed. We'll see what happens. And I think that's really it, is that like people are just on their toes waiting to see what happens.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of speculation that he's selling the team. There was a thing earlier in the year with Robert Kraft's granddaughter being at the game and Robert Kraft being at one of the games and all that stuff. So, you know what? If he's not in the media, Ottawa fans are happy.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, because it's never fun when any market's being ripped and torn and the fans are unhappy. And I sure don't want to see, you know, Ottawa or any Canadian-based team or struggle for long periods of time, because it's just, I don't know, it's just not healthy.
No, I mean, I hate Toronto. If they continue to struggle to win the cup, I would so happy.
Yeah, I can say that for our friends up north in Edmonton too. So I guess, you know, you got to have those fun, friendly rivalries though, don't you?
Yeah, basically.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today, and all of us Flames fans are cheering on Ottawa as the week goes by and they continue a Western swing with, they play Tuesday in Vancouver, Wednesday in Edmonton, and we are definitely cheering on Ottawa as they go through the West Coast trying to help out Calgary. Thanks, Shane, for taking the time to talk to us today.
Oh, no problem. It was a pleasure.
NHL news, opinions, and controversy.
Okay, this is the last time I'm talking about it. Promise. I can't think of another reason why I would bring this topic up again. I don't want to talk about it again. I really don't. Bill Peters resigns. I've been pretty opinionated on this topic. And I thought about taking the high road and decided that, you know what? I don't think my listeners want me to take the high road. Quite honestly, I think there's a lot of people that agree with me on this. And based off the tweets I've seen and some of the messages I've received on Facebook and some of the comments on some of the Flames Facebook pages that I partake in conversation on, some people disagree with me, but I got a lot more that agree with me. Now, Bill Peters resigns, but I believe he was forced to resign because Calgary could not fire him without legal recourse. You cannot fire somebody for a racial slur made when he was not even working for the current employer. I don't think that the Flames had grounds to fire him. Now, I know you can just say, well, we're going to fire him because the team's off to a mediocre start and expectations were a lot higher. They could have done that, but that would have been a total cop-out. And that's not how True Living is, and that's not how the Flames organization is. But I don't know. I think there's a little bit more to this. I think Peters could have fought this and could have been paid all of his money, because I don't think they had the legal grounds to fire him. Even though what he said was wrong. Was wrong, wrong, wrong. But it didn't happen while he was working for this employer. And it wasn't something illegal. Who knows? Maybe they're still paying him. Maybe they paid him just to resign and leave. We'll never know. He might still be getting a salary. The Flames organization just wanted this done. It was a bad, bad image for them, and I don't blame them. But in the hockey world, Bill Peters was a sacrificial lamb. He was made an example of. What he did was wrong, but it was handled 10 years ago. He apologized in Rockford, and the Chicago Blackhawks, who operate Rockford, dealt with it. Hell, the problems in Carolina were dealt with too. They never happened again after he was talked to. Ron Francis thought he was good enough to keep him employed. The ownership there, even though they copped out and said if they would have known, which they were informed by Ron Francis, so I don't know how there was a miscommunication there. That doesn't add up. He stayed employed in Carolina. I also find it very interesting that Akeem Alou, the guy who accused Bill Peters of doing this, which he did do it and he admitted it, and was very professional, by the way, in handling it, has now hired Colin Kaepernick's lawyer. Funny how that works. My question is he really traumatized by this event? Or is he just looking for money? Or looking to make examples? It's starting to look that way. I was actually really disappointed and actually kind of pissed off when I heard that he's got Kaepernick's lawyer. Because that's just a game. If Peters had done this last week, Calgary should have fired him immediately. Because I don't agree with it. I don't think it's morally right. And I don't like it. But it didn't happen yesterday. It didn't happen when he worked for the Calgary Flames. Hell, it didn't even happen when he was in the National Hockey League. There was no other reported problems while he was coaching the Calgary Flames. None. Again, I ask, what happens when someone accuses another NHL player? When a player accuses another, a player of racial abuse, what's going to happen? I'm waiting. Well, I want a player to come out and say, such and such player did this to me on the ice. Or in the locker room. Or on the team flight. Will he be banned and blackballed from the league like Bill Peters was? Or was Bill Peters just a sacrificial lamb? I guarantee you the NHLPA would never let that happen. They would never let a player get run out of the league for it. I don't think he'd ever do it, but what if Connor McDavid said a racial slur? There'd be a lot of hypocrites up north saying it was okay then, I guarantee that. What if he said a racial slur to an opponent in anger? Would he be out of the league? Get serious, not a chance. It wouldn't be out there. They wouldn't let it out. Bill Peters has gone as Calgary Flames coach. I thought he was a good coach in Calgary. I thought he did a good job while he was here. Western Conference champions. He's got a lot to be proud of. I applaud him for taking accountability for what he did. And I wish him the best. I don't condone what he said. So the people that are going to fire off messages at me and calling me a racist and whatever, fire away. It's not true. I don't condone this. Not in any way, shape, or form. But I also don't condone that a guy's lost his job for something that happened 10 years ago that he dealt with, he apologized for, the team and the organization all dealt with. It's just not right. All right, Flames fans, let's take a little bit of a look at some Flames news. Jeff Ward has taken over as head coach on an interim basis. We'll see where that goes. Craig Conroy, assistant GM, joins him behind the bench. They've won two in a row, Calgary Flames fans. Things are going good. Alexander Yelsin was assigned to Stockton. Travis Hamonic is back from injury but did not play Saturday versus Ottawa. The 4 days off will serve him good now, and we'll see if we can get Travis Hamonic back into the fold.
every team, everywhere. The Hockey Podcast Network.
Hey, the Hockey Podcast Network and Flames Unfiltered are very excited to announce a partnership with Gongshou Hockey Apparel. Check out the Hockey Podcast Network Twitter page for weekly contests where you can get some really, really cool swag from Gongshou Hockey Apparel. Check that out on Twitter. Harvey's Doghouse. It is our Sunday feature. This one will get released on Monday, like I said, on the Hockey Podcast Network and every podcast platform known to man. Also, check it out on flamesunfiltered.com and some other real cool Flames info, news, updates, everything you can ask for a Flames fan on flamesunfiltered.com. Harvey's Doghouse this week. I hate to do it because I was such a big fan of this guy last year. Mark Jankowski, you're just not cutting it this year. 26 games played, 0 points, you're minus 12. Here's the real kicker. 14 shots in 26 games. That's like a half a shot per game. He's getting 12 minutes of ice time a night. Positives, I guess. He's pretty effective on the penalty kill, and he wins 50% of his draws. But when you put up 32 points, 14 goals, 18 assists last year, and you can't even get shots on net this year, that'll land you in Harvey's Doghouse. Fan question for this week. What do you think about Ryan Huska for new coach of the Calgary Flames? Well, Huska coached in Kelowna in the WHL for 12 years. He's worked in the AHL system in Calgary for the past four. He knows the players well. He's young. He's 44 years old. So he gels and fits in with the players good. And God knows we need a coach that is a player's coach now. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think he'll get the job. I guess if that's what you want me to answer. Does he deserve it? I don't know. Maybe. Probably deserves strong consideration for it. That's for sure. But I don't think the Flames are going outside the organization. I don't. I think Jeff Ward will be named head coach of this team. I don't know if it'll be this season. I don't know. Maybe it will. It might. I guess probably, you know what? It probably depends on how they do in December and January, and I could see it probably happen in February if this team's in a playoff spot. This team doesn't go into a playoff spot. They won't name anybody. He'll finish out the season, and things will probably adjust at that point. He's 57 years old. He's had a long, long coaching career. Won a cup in Boston as an assistant coach. He spent 10 years in Boston. Also time in New Jersey and Calgary. He's 2-0 in his first two games. I don't know. I don't have a take on. I loved his interview on the Fan 960 a couple weeks ago. I thought he was extremely honest, to the point, and great. It was exactly what I wanted to hear. So you know what? He's good in my book right now. I will fill you in on my opinions and thoughts on Jeff Ward as we learn more about him as head coach of the Calgary Flames. Now, if anyone thinks that Babcock was an option or is an option, I think you're crazy. So you can cross that right off your list. But let's stop talking about coaching. We got game previews to go, and then we're going to let you get on your way and enjoy your four-day break from Calgary Flames hockey. Game previews. That was quick. None. No games. We record Wednesday night. We don't have any games from now till Wednesday. Thursday night, Buffalo comes to town. Saturday night, LA comes to town, and that'll be a good one. Next episode, we'll be talking to Taylor and Brandon from Blue and Gold Magdalene Podcast, another great podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the little break. I promise. We're talking hockey from now on. Please, I just want to talk hockey. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players.
consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey.
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.